Please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Last week we started this new study, and this will be lesson number 2 in 2 Peter chapter number 1. I never told you this, but it's been my desire, and I have asked the Lord over and over again to grant this desire. I want to teach and preach every verse of the Bible before I leave this world. So 2 Peter is just the next one on my list, I guess. I realize that most of you weren't here for many of the Bible books that we've already studied, and there's pretty good chance you won't be here for all of the studies to come, this being Kuwait and you being here just to, on a contract, but the good thing about these studies is that we're always going to be looking up cross-references in other books of the Bible, throughout the Bible, and getting a pretty good balance of the Scriptures. Even though we may be focusing on just one particular book at that time. And so this morning we're going to look at the same verses we looked at last week in 2 Peter chapter 1. So let's look at verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, that was our lesson last week. That was a joy to my heart last time, and I hope it was to yours, to just consider God's righteousness, which is freely given to us. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Heavenly Father, as we look once again at this passage, we thank you for the treasures, the many treasures that are in these few words. Lord, help us today to appreciate what you have for us today in looking at our two natures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb have a standing and a state. A standing and a state. We have our eternal position with God in Jesus Christ, freely given us by the grace of God the very moment that we're saved. And we have our temporal condition. How am I acting today? Okay, which may, as we saw last time, it may be carnal or it may be spiritual. But spirituality is available if we so desire. Carnality, it just shows up on its own, with or without our desire, unfortunately. And so in these verses we see laid out for us the opportunity to not only have a glorious standing with God as regards our eternal destination, the fact that we know we'll be with God forever and ever, but we have the opportunity to make that a practical reality in our day-to-day lives right now. So I want to show you a series of both of these laid out side by side in these first four verses, and then we'll go through and we'll talk about these. In verse 1, look at these two names. Simon, the old man. Peter, the new man. Simon, sifted as wheat. We'll see that set forth in Scripture. Peter, the solid rock. When reference is made to the individual, when the Scriptures are just referring to this man, he's called Peter. When Jesus is correcting one of his many blunders or mistakes, he calls him Simon. And he writes here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, I am Simon and I am Peter. I have been saved and given God's righteousness, and that makes me Peter. I still have an old nature, that makes me Simon. And I am both at the same time Simon Peter. And if you're here this morning and you are saved and you're born again, you are both at the same time Simon and you are Peter, so to speak. Okay? You may find yourself, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, God made this man an apostle. He didn't sign up for it. He didn't go to apostle school. He didn't take a course and qualify for it. God made Simon Peter an apostle. Simon Peter chose by submission to the will and the ways of God to make himself a servant, though. You can be saved this morning and still care for no one but yourself. Or you can be saved this morning and care deeply for others. You can be saved this morning and be unable to remember the last time you ever visited a sick person in the hospital. Or you can be saved this morning and always be ministering to those that are having a time of need. You may be saved this morning and be able to call off a list of people that this week you have gone out of your way to be a blessing to. Or you may be saved this morning, and if you were forced to, you would be able to testify this morning of people that you've insulted and ridiculed and bad-mouthed this very week as a saved person. Simon Peter was made by God an apostle, but he chose to make himself a servant of the Lord. Look in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. That's what you have the moment that you are saved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet, many a saved man, many a saved woman, though godliness is available, they have never opted to lay hold upon it. Saved, but ungodly. You may go out and speak to a man out there on the street, and you'll have gospel tracts in your hand. And he'll probably have some sort of alcoholic beverage in his hand. And, I mean, you have in your heart a knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he'll have in his heart a knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You'll be in company with saved people preaching the gospel. He'll be in company with probably with drunkards trying to pick up drunken girls. And you can say, I'm saved by trusting Jesus as my Savior. He can say, well, I think I'm saved because when I was a boy, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Now, you're not in a position to say he's not saved, looking at his actions, based upon his actions, okay? You are in a position to say that he has not appropriated the godliness that is available to a saved man. Okay, one is the standing, one is the state. Whether he's saved or not, God knows. You may not know. whether he's godly or not, that's what you can know. Everyone knows that, looking at him. Okay, and I want to, I personally want to not only have life freely given to me, which it has been, but I want to have godliness. I not only want to be an apostle, I want to be a servant, so to speak, okay? Now, look at the last part of verse number 3. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. You've been called to glory. Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm going to that place where there's no sickness and no sorrow and no pain and no death. Praise the Lord. I'm going to that place where nobody sins anymore. Glory, though, glory and virtue. Okay? That's what you'll find there. Praise the Lord. I'm in a place right now. Now think about this. I'm in a place right now where I don't have to sin anymore. I don't have to. I'm in a place right now where I don't have to cause anybody any sorrow or pain or death. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I can, this morning, use my tongue to be a blessing to you. Or I can, this morning, use my tongue to burn your face off. I can, this morning, use my money to sin against you. Or I can, this morning, use my money to further the missionary efforts of the church. I can, this morning, use my talent and my strength and my ability to try to impart to you something that will give you joy, something that will give you peace and give you comfort. Or I can use my talent this morning to give you one more reason to want to quit. Am I going to heaven? Absolutely. Because I have God's imputed righteousness that's taking care of my eternal destination. But I don't want to just have glory. I want to have virtue. I don't want to just be going to heaven. I want to bear some resemblance to someone who is going to heaven. And they're, both of those are available. And verse number 4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that great? Born again, made a new creature, made one with Jesus Christ, given the indwelling Holy Spirit, made a member of and a part of his very body. Isn't that great? We are partakers of the divine nature, comma, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it is possible. It's not right. Not right, but it is possible to be a partaker of the divine nature and be a partaker of internet pornography. It is possible to be a partaker of the divine nature and be a partaker of the bitterness and the unforgiveness that you knew as a lost person. It is possible to be a partaker of the divine nature and yet live according to the old nature. The old nature. It's possible to come to church on Friday morning and praise the Lord and then go to work on Saturday or Sunday and curse and tell dirty stories. It's possible to be both. But the desire of the Holy Spirit is that we not only be a partaker of the divine nature, but that we also use what is available to us and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look, look at the two side by side. Apostle, life, glory, divine nature. That is ours by God's operation. The result, servant, godliness, virtue, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That God makes possible, but it's up to us. We have got to want those things. We've got to desire it. Now, look in your Bible in John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, let's take a look at this fellow, Simon Peter. John chapter number 1, beginning in verse 35. John 1, 35. Again, the next day after, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master. Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Okay, let me stop here for a minute. Look, notice when the Holy Spirit is giving you the historical record, he's referring to the man as Simon Peter, okay, because it's a historical record. Before this man, Simon Peter, meets Jesus, his brother goes and finds him. And who does the Bible say he goes to find? Simon. Look, writing about it years later, who are we talking about? We're talking about Simon Peter. At the time, before he meets Jesus, who is he? He's Simon. He's Simon. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. There's Peter. There's Cephas. I mean, look what the Lord said. You're Simon. You're just a man in the flesh, but I'm going to make you a solid rock. Now, once this man, Simon, just a man in the flesh, once he met Jesus Christ made him a man who was a solid rock sometimes. Not all the time. And you know what Peter figured out by the end of his days? He figured out that this side of heaven, he was always going to be Simon Peter. He was always going to be that old guy and that new guy. He was always going to be that good for nothing, shifting sand, and he could always be that good for something, solid rock. So this epistle that he's writing in 2 Peter, before we get to all the parts that Simon likes, about, you know, when we get to the parts of this epistle where it talks about the world that then was perished and the flood of Noah's day, you know, the Antichrist there in chapter 2, before all of that, before we get to any of those things, we have got to deal with the really important stuff, like, why are we content with the glory to come and not the virtue that could be ours right here and now? Why are we content with the life that we're going to have someday and not so interested in the godliness that we could have right now? So Second Peter is written by a man who has obviously come to understand, I'm the old me and I'm the new me. And when I'm the old me, I am as sorry as I've ever been. I'm as bad as I've ever been. And when I'm the new me, I'm better than I ever thought I could be. Haven't you experienced that? And the Holy Spirit is using this man to write to us and say, may I recommend that you do all that you can to be Peter and do everything you can to not be Simon. It's going to take some work. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. All right, so Jesus, he said, you are Simon, you shall be Cephas. All right, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered. Now, Simon Peter answered because this is the history. This is what happened. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. Okay, Simon the man. Simon understood Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. He was the promised Messiah. And Jesus said, well, what a blessing, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Simon is capable of seeing and perceiving who Jesus Christ is, and he testifies to that very fact. Jesus is capable of making that man more than Simon. He's capable of making him Peter, one that he can confidently use in the building of his church. Thank the Lord. I mean, look, I am as weak and frail. I have as many sin problems as you do. You're as weak and frail, and you have as many sin problems as I do. But if we will see Jesus for who he is, trust Jesus for who he is, the Lord can do more with you than you ever thought possible. He can make you part of the great building program of his church. That's 2 Peter 1. You're not just Simon, you're Peter. You're not just the old man, you're the new man. What a blessing. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to be of any use to God. I don't want to wait to get to heaven before I can be of any use to God's people. I want the Lord to not just give me life, but godliness. Not just make me an apostle or give me a gift and a place in the body. I want him to make me a servant. I don't want to just want the glory that is to come. I want the virtue that is now. I don't just want to say I am a partaker of the divine nature. I want to be able to prove it by my ability to escape corruption and escape lust. Now look at chapter 17 of Matthew. Matthew 17, the very next chapter. Matthew 17, let's start at verse number 24. Matthew 17, 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter, okay, there's the historical name, and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Now, here in this passage, Peter, okay, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, okay, that Peter, he's wrong. Instead of answering these guys and saying, I don't know, let me ask the Lord Jesus, he presumes to speak for the Lord Jesus in his own understanding, and so he gives the wrong answer. So when Jesus meets him, he doesn't say, Peter. He says, Simon. Now, do you understand that it's possible for a man to leave, like Peter, leave all behind, follow Jesus, presume it is possible for that man following Jesus to presume himself to be speaking on Jesus' behalf, to sincerely be imagining that he's standing up for Jesus, and to be Simon and not Peter. Look, it's important that you get that. I mean, why read 2 Peter? Why study 2 Peter? Why read the Bible at all? Why come to church at all if you think that you've got it all figured out all by yourself? If you think whatever you do is right because you do it. I mean, come on. I can be Peter, and then a chapter later, I can be Simon. And a chapter after that, I can be Peter once again. And turn the page to the next chapter, and I can be Simon again. It's possible, brother. It's possible, sister, for you and I to walk in the Spirit and to be used of God and be a solid rock and a building block of God's church. And it's possible for us to be just an old man after the flesh, looking out for our own self-interests, mad at anybody who won't put us on the throne, offended at anybody who suggests that we need some help. I can be Peter, and I can be Simon. And you see the same thing in the book of Genesis with the two names, Jacob and his new name, Israel. When he's right, he's Israel. When he's in the flesh, he's addressed as Jacob. And in the New Testament, when he's right, he's Peter. But when he's wrong, he's Simon. And so I can be an apostle, but not necessarily a servant. I can have life, but not necessarily have godliness. You see, what it comes down to is this. 2 Peter 1 introduces the book. Let's go back there just for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Look at the end of verse 1. God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is eternal right there. Verse 2, end of that verse. God and of Jesus our Lord. See? He's your Savior, but he wants to be your Lord. So you can have life from the Savior and godliness from the Lord. So you can have glory from the Savior and virtue from the Lord. You can have divine nature from the Savior and escape corruption through the Lord. Baptists, they want Jesus as the Savior, but they're scared to death of Jesus the Lord. Sounds a little too much like some group they're not part of, I guess. I mean, look, Yeah, he is the Lord, whether you want to talk about it or not. And he wants to be Lord every moment of every day in your life. Now come to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Peter has been active in ministry with the Lord Jesus, and that's a good thing. He left his fishing nets to preach the gospel, and that's a good thing. And the Bible says in verse 24 of Luke 22, verse 24, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." I mean, with Jesus there, they're having this discussion. Jesus is right there. And these guys who are following Jesus are arguing among themselves about which one is the greatest follower. Well, I've got a question for you. John, how many dead people have you raised? None. Peter, how about you? None. Andrew? None. Bartholomew? None. You mean all of the dead people been raised by Jesus? Well, why don't we just let him be the greatest? Well, yeah, he is the greatest. We understand that, but we're talking about, you know, after him, who's the greatest? You know, I mean, look, we all understand that Jesus Christ is the greatest, but, you know, what about me? Well, what about you? Well, you know, I was offended. Well, then you need to get off the throne. Well, my feelings were hurt. Well, then get off the throne. Well, somebody didn't give me the respect that I think I was entitled to. Then you need to get off the throne. We see this kind of thing every day. This happens in the family, between husband and wife, between parents and children. Happens between church members and the pastor, yeah. Between employees and their supervisors. I mean, hey, every day of my life, somebody's insulting me. I'm not on the throne, though. It doesn't hurt me so bad. I don't like it, but it's not a big deal. I mean, really, how do you get upset when somebody tells you, you're close to nothing, which you already know, I am nothing. Jesus is everything. I mean, if you know you're worse than they say you are, why should it bother you? I mean, it's hardly ever that you get done preaching. There's somebody there to tell you what you said wrong or what you did wrong or what you left out or how you could have done it better. You know, well, you know, that's all right. I mean, after all, I'm standing up here for 45 minutes telling everybody else what they got wrong, what they left out, and so I guess it just goes with the territory. It's just something to be expected that the preacher's going to get back some of what he dishes out. I had a man stand up in the middle of a sermon one time and said, "All right, that's all I can take. I've sat here week after week, listened to you preach about the King James Bible and how it's perfect and it's infallible while the new translations are corrupt and they're all full of problems." He says, "Well," and he went on, he said, "Well, even though I personally prefer to use the King James myself, I'll have you know my wife's NIV is every bit as good, and I'm tired of you hurting her feelings. So we're just going to leave now, and we won't be coming here anymore." And he paused for a minute as if he thought I was going to backpedal on what I'd been preaching and beg him to stay. But I just said, "Okay," and waited for him to leave, so I could finish the sermon. See, he'd already told me right there that he'd been listening week after week, but since he obviously hadn't learned anything in our church, I figured it was better for him to go find a church that had a preacher who was always right in his wife's opinion. Because if I decided to be flexible and try and preach sermons that they want to hear, then somebody else is going to complain. Why doesn't he ever say anything about those corrupt Bibles? Or I could limit the preaching to something guaranteed to please everyone, like a good old salvation message week after week after week. Then someone would say, man, he always preaches the same thing. Look, let's get back to this. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. You know why people won't forgive? Because they think they're the greatest. You know why people take offense? They think they're the greatest. Do you know why people drop out? They think they're the greatest. Do you know why people get mad and stay mad? Because they think they're the greatest. You're nothing. He is everything. So here's these followers of Jesus arguing about who is going to be the greatest. Verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Okay, so that's what Peter got. That's what he finally understood by his second epistle. You know, if I'm going to be the chief, if I'm going to be an elder in the church and a leader in the church, I've got to serve. I've got to be a servant and not a master. Verse 27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now look, when he's wanting to be the greatest, do you know what Jesus calls him? Simon. When he's arguing with his brother, which he wouldn't be if he, you know, unless he thought he was better than his brother, Jesus says, Simon. You know, come on, why don't you get it right? Why don't you reconcile? Why don't you forgive? Why don't you participate? Why don't you get involved? Why don't you repent of something? Stop arguing that you're the greatest. That's Simon. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now listen, you get this. Satan can sift the old man. Your flesh has no power over Satan. Your lusts and appetites have no power over Satan. What you are by natural birth has no power over Satan. Boy, if Satan gets hold of your Simon, he's going to shake you out like a dog shaking a stuffed animal, and all the stuffing's going to come out. He'll tear you to pieces. Don't forget it. Now watch this. Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter. Now look at this. He is ready. He is ready to die for Jesus. That's Peter. He's ready to follow him to the ends of the earth. That's Peter. He's willing to go with him to death. That's Peter. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now look at this. you're just Simon. Satan wants you. I'm going to pray for you that your faith doesn't fail. Lord, I'll follow you to the ends of the world. Yeah, Peter, I believe you will. But if you're Simon, when you could be Peter, you're going to deny me, even though you're willing to die for me. Now, brother, on a Friday morning service, when we've all sung praises to the Lord, and it's good in here, and you're blessed, and your belly's full, and you have a day off from work, and it's just all about Jesus, well, you're ready to do just about anything that he asks. And he knows that. And he appreciates that. And when it comes time to do some of those things that you thought on Friday morning you might do on Saturday for the first time, things that you hadn't ever done before, Simon says, I don't want to do that. And look in these verses right here, side by side, within a matter of minutes, we see Simon and we see Peter, and we see desire and we see failure, and we see the Lord's confidence in what he can make the man, and we see the Lord's total lack of confidence in what the man can make himself. And that's us. That's where we are, you understand. And you're going to leave here this afternoon, and you're going to be Simon, or you're going to be Peter. And you're going to go to work tomorrow or the next day, and you're going to be Simon, or you're going to be Peter. And you're going to be offered an opportunity to do right, whether you go to school, whether you stay home, interface with your neighbors. And you're going to be Simon, or you're going to be Peter. And you're going to be also offered an opportunity to do the wrong thing tomorrow. And you're going to be Simon, or you're going to be Peter. An apostle with a Savior, with life, with glory, with the divine nature, cursing and saying, I know not the man. Or a servant of a Lord who has godliness and virtue and has escaped the controlling influence of lust. And it just all depends on who you're going to yield control of your life to. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John 21. Now, you know what Peter did. He went out and he did get sifted. He denied the Lord. Jesus rises from the dead and he meets up with him. The Bible says in John 21, starting in verse number 15, John 21, 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, again, that's just the narrative, that's the history, that's who he is, Simon Peter. But he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? How about that? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, you know why he called him Simon? Because he's in the flesh. He's just living like the old man. And isn't that too bad? That's bad, because it didn't have to be that way. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now, this goes back to what we talked about last time. You know, you understand, you can love the Lord and live after the flesh. Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, but you're acting like Simon and not like Peter. Lord, you know I love you, Well, sure we love him. Why wouldn't we love him? You know, he gave us eternal life. Of course we love him. He forgave our sins. But loving him and submitting to him as the Lord of our life are not the same thing. It's a great start. It's a great motivation. It's a great foundation. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now here's the thing. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been reduced to tears like this. I know I have. I don't know if you've ever experienced this kind of grief. I know I have. You know what Jesus said to Simon the first day they ever met? Simon, son of Jonas. The first time they ever met, you're Simon. And after 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, closer than anybody's ever walked with Jesus, and he sat down one morning and Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas. Have you not ever just been so grieved that after all the time that you've been saved and all that you have learned about the Lord and all the things you've seen him do in your life, it seems like you're no better than you were the first day you ever met him at times. I mean, don't you sometimes just sit there and say, Lord, you know I love you. I don't know why I did that, but you know I love you. I don't know what I'm doing sitting here in this mess. Lord, you know I love you, and there I went and I did it again. Lord, you know I love you, and it seems like I'm no better than I was the day I got saved. Well, guess what? You're no better than you were the day you got saved as regards Simon. Simon hasn't changed. Peter, yeah, he's a lot better. He's a lot better. Simon, he's no better at all. And you get living after the flesh, and you will live like you never met Jesus. After all you've seen and all you've experienced, all you've been through, and all he's done for you, the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And man, it's breaking Peter's heart, but to realize that. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now look at this. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know what happens when you get born again? God gives you his Holy Spirit. He makes you a partaker of the divine nature. And then he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, Simon, and Peter was grieved. Simon, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. Don't grieve the new man. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't be content to have life, desire godliness. Don't be content to have future glory, desire present virtue. Don't be content to have the divine nature, desire to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. I mean, you don't want to have to be grieved in the presence of your Savior because Simon is your Lord instead of making Jesus your Lord. All right, let's come back to 2 Peter chapter 1, where we started. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Let's read it again. Simon, natural man. Peter, new man. Side by side, one person. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, every believer has been given everything they need to live a godly life. We just have to decide, do I want to be Peter? Or do I want to just keep being Simon with the benefits and the blessings that come through the grace of God? Let's come to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Verse 14. Acts 2:14. Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and what did he do? He preached the gospel. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 3, verse 4. Acts 3:4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse number 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And then he preaches the good news. And on it goes. You know, I don't want to just be saved. I want to be Peter, not Simon. I don't want to just be going to heaven. I want heaven to be going on in me. But it's possible to be saved and to be a tremendous blessing to God and God's people. And it's possible to be saved and to end up just in your own little corner of your own little world with your own little self-image and your own little kingdom. I don't want to be Simon. Simon, do you love me? Lord, I do love you. Well, why don't you start doing things my way? Simon, Satan wants to sift you out. Simon, you've seen some things that flesh and blood couldn't reveal, but I can't build on you unless I can make you into a solid rock. I'll call you Peter. Whatever trouble you've got in your home or in your personal life, whatever trouble we've got in our church life, it's not about saved and lost. It's about Simon versus Peter. Because we've got a Savior, but not a Lord. We have life, but not godliness. We have glory, but not virtue. We have the divine nature, but we we've not escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I mean, come on. Let the Lord do something for you right now. Don't wait for heaven. Let the Lord change things for you now. Don't sit around and wait for Him to change everybody else now. It can't be everybody else. It just can't be possible that it's always everybody else that causes your problems. Sometimes it's got to be me. Sometimes it's got to be you. Sometimes it's just Simon getting in the way of the Lord wanting to use Peter. Amen. I hope that made sense to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for showing us that in this Christian life we still have our old nature that we drag along with us, that old man that wants to do the same things he always wanted to do. Help us, Lord, to try to kill that old man day after day and live the kind of life, the godly life that you want us to live, to be of use to others, to be a blessing to you as well, so that we can have the blessings that come from living the kind of life you want us to live. Help us, Lord, not to be selfish and just be looking forward to those things that we know are ours because you've given them to us by grace. But help us, Lord, to make the right choices to live the kind of life that we ought to be living as those who represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing one hymn and then we'll take a break.